Every Bay Every Day with Alex and Alex. He's Alex Gravatt. I'm Alex Strope with you from the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison on your Tuesday, March 26, 2024. Nice outfit, bro.
I am wearing a kilt.
Yeah, you are. All day. And you can find a video of it on Instagram at ESPN Madison.
I learned another fun fact about Scotland today. Their national animal.
Unicorn.
The unicorn. Yeah. Isn't that delightful? Holy cow. Yeah, so I wore the kilt to work today. I am wearing shorts underneath it.
Oh, you are?
Yes, and I actually didn't wear it to work. I have pants in my backpack that I wore into the office because I didn't want to be like...
I have pants.
Walking up the stairs or on the elevator with somebody and have to describe it or explain why without just saying tune into Green Bay every day. But then I went out to the bathroom, the hallway, and all that good stuff. And I've run into multiple people today, and it's just awkward.
How do you pee in that?
I've used the restroom exactly once today.
Okay.
And I took it all the way off. I just hung it on the back of the drawer.
Nice. Very, very good. Well, thanks for following through. You look lovely in your kilt.
Good Karma Brands core value. Follow through, and I did, damn it.
You did indeed. You did indeed. Yeah, that's why I was laughing off the top. Okay, so we'll get to something Brian Bulaga said. The Packers also have a new kicker that will compete with Anders Carlson for the starting job in 2024. We'll talk on both those things in a minute. But you won a bracket challenge.
I have won a bracket challenge, which is something I won't be able to say again this year.
Yeah.
This March, our sales and marketing team had put together a internal bachelor bracket.
Well, this was actually put together back in January, but yes.
Is it January? Okay, anyway.
Yeah, it was at least 8 weeks ago, yeah.
Sure, and it was about halfway through the bachelor, I assume, and everyone got brackets, and I ran around the office going, "Ooh, I want one. And so I looked up all of these people on the bachelor website, and I chose who I thought was going to win. And I have never once watched any episode of The Bachelor ever. I've seen bits here and there, but that's it.
So I watched every episode of The Bachelor. I think I took last place.
Yeah, you were so locked in on a girl who didn't get a rose like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, well, and then the other one I picked as the finalist, did just left herself.
Oh, yeah.
That was Lexi, and I picked Maria to win it all, which everybody wanted as the next bachelorette because she's this Canadian spitfire, but she did not become the next bachelorette. So very disappointing.
It blows my mind that people are willing and actively seek this out.
So I kind of get it, but also, like, if Maria, that's the one I thought would be the next bachelorette and thought would win the Bachelor this season, if she would have been chosen as the next bachelorette, I may have looked into it.
Yeah, okay, so here's the thing.
She's a year older than me.
Admittedly, you do get to know a little bit about the people at a very fake base level, you know, curated by the folks at whatever, is it ABC?
It is indeed ABC.
Okay,
yes.
So that's what you get to know about the people. But the thing is, like, you are actively becoming part of this woman's roster, which is 28 deep. And so you're just like, constantly having to deal with the fact that, like, she's making out with half of the dudes around you. And it's just a ticking time bomb of, like, maybe she wants to continue to see you, but because there are two other dudes she wants to see more, she's just going to cut you out of her life cold turkey, full stop. That's it.
Yeah.
And you're guaranteed to marry at the end of this, right?
You get engaged.
You get engaged.
You don't get married like Love is Blind, no.
Okay, also, even more outlandish.
That show's wild.
Because you're getting married. Like, this is a lifetime, this is a once-in-a-lifetime commitment for many people. Well, about half. And it's just, like, you have to make this on TV. And you have to make it, like, that's why I like Maria. Because she realized, this dude ain't for me. And anyone who wants to be the one who's choosing from the 28... probably not actually that stable.
I feel like you would have liked the finale then. It was for the first time ever, both ladies saw each other on the day of the proposal. So Daisy went to see Kelsey, who won, and Daisy asked Kelsey how it's going. And through that conversation, she realized, I'm not going to win. So when she approached the altar in which they have their final meeting, she said to Joey, the bachelor, I know you're not picking me. And they both cried, and they had a very mature goodbye. And then he got engaged like 10 minutes later.
He is in a long-term relationship with two women at once. And that's
yeah, that's crazy.
Dumb. Listen, it's not like when I went in to my high school soccer tryouts. I was a good goalkeeper in high school, right? I was asked to join the freshman team from football. I was playing football. They're like, Alex, we need a goalkeeper. Can you please come play for us? I went. I had a great season. I had fun. I went into the JV and varsity tryouts knowing that the guy above me in my grade is the number one recruit or maybe number two recruit in the state of Wisconsin, and the kid a grade above me played for the Junior Olympics. I knew that Coach Fike was not going to take me, and that was fine. When he called me over to his car, and that we had a similar situation where I guess you got the rose or you didn't. I walk over, he's like, Alex. And I'm like, dude, I know. Like, this is not a problem. I'm a good goalkeeper. I'd start in most towns. This town just happens to be filthy with goalkeepers. That's fine. And he was like, wow, I didn't expect you to say that. And I was like, I'll see you in poetry class next year.
All right, that's Bachelor Talk in Green Bay every day. And we beautifully transition to maybe the most handsome man on ESPN Wisconsin. Brian Bulaga, the former Packers right tackle, was on Wilde and Tausch earlier today talking about Jordan Love's upcoming contract situation. Here's Blue on Wilde and Tausch.
The leverage is all on Jordan Love's side. Like, they have all the leverage. And that's the thing for Green Bay, that when you have good quarterbacks, you just kind of have to give in to the leverage because they have it. And it's just a matter of how much can you negotiate the quarterback side down. And I think it's going to be in that 50 to 51 APY. So you're looking at $205 million total contract. And I'm guessing that guarantee is going to be in the 150 to 170 range.
That Brian Bulaga earlier today on Wilde and Tausch on ESPN Wisconsin. G?
Yeah, I was listening to this live, and I talked to right away to Jesse Nelson, producer of that produced show. I'm not going to call it beautifully produced. He did, because I think that this is just another one of those moments where Brian Gutekunst continues to be just a pretty good general manager. Not a game changer or excellent. He's had a lot of great things fall into his lap. It doesn't matter who you draft or how much effort you put into them. You're not going to get an Aaron Rodgers by the work you put in. You have to get lucky. And now Jordan Love is looking to be a really good quarterback. And I do think that there's a lot that goes into the work that was put in and the situation that he was put into, right? But also, it happens to be that he made all of the teammates around him look better, because they made him look bad at first, and he helped make them look better. The biggest shot that Brian Gutekunst has made in his tenure as a Green Bay Packers GM is trading away a Super Bowl MVP, four-time MVP, All-Pro, surefire Hall of Famer Aaron Rodgers. And that's good. Like, I guess, like, he played it well, and we ended up with a great quarterback out of it. But it's, again, just not – now we don't have that window of not having to pay a quarterback because we have another great quarterback. And that's great. It stays relevant. But it's not a window where, like, Joe Burrow got to go to a Super Bowl before he got paid. We don't have that Brock Purdy prepaid bolster crazy team because it continues to be safe plays. You see what I'm saying, Strofe?
Yeah, I don't necessarily view it as a bad thing, though, and it seems like you do.
It's not bad. It means the Green Bay Packers will always be relevant. However, it feels like we are in a space where now, like Brian Bulaga said on Wilde and Tausch, Jordan Love has all the cards. He has the leverage. It is his. He gets to decide how much he's going to make, and it's going to be $50 million, which is crazy. It's awesome that we have a $50 million quarterback, and it stinks because it means we can't continue to surround him with talent unless we continue to get lucky in the draft, which right now we have a good drafted team, but I would love to have 2 years of like, okay, we have a drafted team that's good and a quarterback on a rookie contract. Let's go bring in TJ Watt or I don't know, just name X superstar, but now we can't because we have to pay him. And we're paying off $50 million of dead money. But
yeah, that's the other part of it. But I would view it more this way, right? Like, the window is still certainly open for the Packers because of the pieces around Jordan Love aren't being paid, right? You're not spending – I mean, you are Josh Jacobs. But when you look at tight end, wide receiver, everybody's on a rookie deal. Mm-hmm. When you look defensively, a lot of those guys, I mean, Jair's being paid very pretty. Rashawn Gary's getting paid well. Kenny Clark's getting paid well. But you have a lot of those up-and-comers still on rookie deals, like your Eric Stokes, your Quay Walker, your Devontae Wyatt, et cetera, your Lucas Van Ness's of the world. So I think the championship formula doesn't necessarily rely on whether or not you're paying a quarterback. It relies on, A, are you drafting well? B, are you developing well? And see, can you hit it while this window is open? And I view this window as a short one. It's only three more years. And if the Packers can win a Super Bowl in the next 3 years, fantastic. If not, it might be a minute because you're going to have to continue to fill in some of those positional groups, which, again, I think Goody has done a nice job of in terms of drafting the right pieces that can plug and play right away, quickly.
But that's not his thing. He loves to get guys who are projects and that they develop into great players, and they do so often.
Depending.
I will say. But, like, no, I mean, on the defensive side in particular, Lucas Van Ness was a project. Rashawn Gary was a project. Jair Alexander was a home run hit, absolutely. But Quay Walker, Devontae Wyatt, these are both projects.
Yeah, but these are all first-round picks. So I guess you're willing to give them more of a leash, whereas you look at some of his lower-round picks, which is where he's really made his money, those have worked out, and even they've worked out early, right? Look at Rashid Walker in his second year starting every game but one at left tackle. Carrington Valentine, a seventh-round pick, started a bunch of games mm-hmm. at cornerback and played really well. At safety, Anthony Johnson Jr. plugged and played a little bit last year as a seventh-round pick. So some of these later-round picks, and they just all happen to be seventh-round examples, have provided a really nice punch early on in their careers. Sean Ryan, likely the starting right guard next year for the Packers, will only be in his third season. He was a day three guy. So overall, I think Goody's done a nice job of drafting guys on cheap deals late in the draft, and they can still provide, in a starting role for this team. And I think that's what makes the youth movement, quote unquote, so exciting, is that Jordan Love's the only guy you really got to pay outside of the guys that have already been paid. And then Josh Jacobs, the free agent addition, and obviously Xavier McKinney as well.
Right. And then the other problem is in two years, a lot of these offensive players are going to start to need to get paid. And
less
that's
of
where,
them, though. That's only Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs. That's about it.
Bo Melton as well, don't forget. But yeah, no, I oftentimes get into my car and I hear the Mr. Irrelevant promo where you hear, Brian Gutekunst is cooking, and I don't know how you say cooking.
I don't think all the words with two O's in them. I say it weird.
Say some.
So moon,
moon,
boob,
moon,
cook,
cook, wook, wook. It's like you're trying to say Wookie. You put a W at the beginning.
Cooking,
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 cooking.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Brian Gutekunst is cooking.
Speaking of bringing in veteran free agents, there's something that you've seemed to be jazzed about today.
Yeah, Greg Joseph, the longtime NFL kicker, has been signed by the Green Bay Packers. He will compete with Anders Carlson this upcoming offseason. I'm not actually jacked about it.
I know,
like,
a
I'm more saying it as a joke, but it is good that Durst has some competition because he was a little bit of a liability last year for the Packers.
I know a guy who goes by Durs. His name also Anders.
Really?
Yeah. Frisbee player. I think he was one of the people who voted in our secondary Great Dane Huddle poll question yesterday.
The bidet poll.
Which, you got bodied, my dude. It
a
was
lot of
like
people have used a bidet?
12, yeah, also, the only time I've used a bidet, at Durs' house.
Oh, so Durs is a big bidet guy.
Durs, yeah.
Am I saying it wrong?
You're saying Durs, like hearse, and it's Durs, like doors.
Yeah, 83% of people say they have used a bidet.
Or would buy one. Let me know on Twitter, at Alex Gravatt.
Oh, my goodness. Competition is good.
Yes.
I mean, that's really the point here. And I think it's good that the Packers are bringing in a vet at the kicking position, albeit a former Minnesota Viking. So much incestual moves in NFC or NFL free agency, in division.
Yeah, incestual is an interesting choice of words, but yes, I mean, like,
I would call it incestuous.
The thing is, right now the teams are actually built relatively similar in a lot of ways. The Lions are definitely the grittiest, the dirtiest, the meanest of the teams.
The dirtiest,
and they have a good scheme for passing, but they're a run gun or a run the ball down your throat team first. That's what the Bears are too, but now they've got a ton of talent, a lot of possession style wide receivers, and the Packers have a similar thing where they've got a ton of talent. You never know who's going to beat you. The Vikings are a bit of an outlier right now, but they don't have a lot of consistency anywhere, it feels like. I mean, they've got a talented roster. They're going to have to rely on a quarterback. But they've got an excellent running back and the best wide receiver in football. So I think it's kind of like there's a lot of similarities along these teams that maybe hasn't been there in a while.
No doubt about it. All right, we're back with you tomorrow. He's Alex Gravatt. You can find him on Twitter if you want to vote on bidet polls or see pictures of his kilt at Alex Gravatt, G-R-A-V-A-T-T. You can find me on Twitter at Alex underscore Strouf, S-T-R-O-U-F. We'll talk more football tomorrow as we look at the positional groups. We will look at the linebackers tomorrow.
Yuck.
On Green Bay every day. Well, some of them. That's tomorrow. We're back with you right here on the Green and Gold Fix podcast feed.